Amar Kalika, a filmmaker and founder of a video production company, a former charter school teacher. He's running for Congress in Wisconsin's 1st Congressional District. He faces Rob Zurbin in the August 12th Democratic primary. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate it. Let me just ask you the first question we ask everybody. Why are you running? Why are you running for Congress?
2 years ago, to the day almost, my father was murdered in the Sikh Temple of Wisconsin. And that tragedy gave me insight into our government. I was part of meetings with the executive staff, and I constantly flew back and forth to Washington, D.C., discussing gun legislation and hate crime legislation. And during that whole period, I kept thinking to myself, wow, our government just does not run effectively. It doesn't run like a business. It doesn't run like a organized machine like it should. And slowly people started to ask me to be more and more part of the leadership and conversation until I finally said, okay.
Yeah.
Let me consider it.
Your father was the founder and president of the Sikh temple in Oak Creek, where were six people, including your father, gunned down 2 years ago yesterday. Our condolences for your loss. I know that gun control is one of your big issues. If elected to Congress, what are you going to do to help prevent more shootings like Oak Creek from happening?
Well, I think I just announced a plan with Richard Martinez, and I think there are ways to curb these mass shootings and the violence that's, it's almost like a slow-motion genocide in the inner city right now. My legislation would bring harder, more, I guess, legislation with teeth on gun trafficking. 6 out of every 10 guns that are used in murders are bad gun sales. They're either private sales that nobody's ever done a background check on. One thing I propose is universal background checks. Another thing is better legislation on gun trafficking. And then the third thing, which is controversial, but I think it would do a tremendous amount in terms of violence, is accidental discharge insurance on all firearm sales. And we allow the private industry, the health insurance industry, to step in and create premium standards and a matrix for people based upon how responsible they are with guns, changing effectively the gun culture to more of a gun responsibility culture. Right now it's more of a, carrying, in the open, and it's almost like a cowboy culture.
Also, after the shooting at the temple, you admitted to using medical marijuana to cope with the grief. Tell us about your history there.
Yeah, the complexities of a tragedy like that, you really don't comprehend what it will do to you emotionally. So then when I went to grief counseling, I happened to be at that point traveling back and forth from California, moving my stuff back. And the counselor said, instead of putting you on such and such and such and such, they gave me a medical marijuana card. And I said, okay. At first, I didn't even know what it was. And it did help me. It effectively actually was a natural thing. It just moved me away. And I guess my biggest concern when I come out with that and talk about that is I want to make sure people know everything about me and I'm transparent. And then the other thing is I do believe that we need to decriminalize certain drug offenses right now. We're creating an education-to-prison pipeline, a school-to-prison pipeline, and a lot of it has to do with the war on drugs, which is a very failed war. It's damaging our border right now as a country. These drug offenses are obviously not criminal. Some of these drug offenses are more health-related. Somebody is addicted to something. Let's start sending them instead of prison beds, let's start sending them to rehabilitation beds, and that'll help grow our health industry.
And do you support legalizing marijuana for recreational use as well as medicinal purposes?
Right now, I'm looking at decriminalizing, and then based upon how other states are doing, having that discussion when we know a little bit more about Colorado and Washington, and let's see what happens in their cases.
Why are you a better choice than your opponent next week, Rob Zurban?
I think my opponent, you know, I've offered a debate to him. He ran away from the debate. I'm a bold candidate with a better electability credential. And in this situation, I believe and I know if you've lost to Ryan by 12% and in a midterm you're going to face him again, you're more likely going to lose ground on that percentage. In my situation, I can get into the inner city. I can talk directly to people from the middle class and lower class because that's where I come from. And I think I can bring out the vote that's necessary to close the gap on Ryan, if not beat him. And I think this is the year to do it. 2014 is the year that we'll be voting on issues, and some of the strongest issues are gun responsibility. Some of the strongest issues are economy. And when we talk about poverty, that's something I know a lot about. We grew up in a very impoverished area, and then, you know, we climbed out of it step by step through the American dream.
Well, what do you what's your reaction to Congressman Ryan proposing an anti-poverty plan recently?
I think it's an interesting one because as soon as we started announcing that we're coming out there, Paul started switching his platform and started changing his platform around. Poverty is the first thing that I wanted to attack. I also think it's one of the biggest things that the Pope himself wants to attack. All around the world, we're looking at poverty, and we see the direct connection to crime. We see the direct connection to injustice. We see the direct connection to war. And it's one of those things, I'm glad that Paul is starting to look at it, but he's still looking at it with the same glasses. He still doesn't comprehend that poverty comes from the inequality of wealth. Our economy is growing, but when 400 Americans make half of your nation's income, that's a problem. That's the worst it's ever been since the Great Depression. And that inequality is what leads to the poverty. Now, there's a way to fix that. There's the living wage. There is a direct investment into infrastructure and rebuilding America. There's a number of ways to close that gap. Corporate welfare, stopping corporate welfare. There's all these things can be done, but we need to move those 17 seats over in order to get them done.
Talk some about your support for raising the minimum wage.
So I talk a lot about 1147. It's only since the 1970s that we've had to start having two people in a house work full time. Now it's to the point where two people in a house work full time, and then they actually might have a third job. And that's a travesty, because as a family unit, you know, when you have both people out of the house, what happens to the children? So 1147 is the number that I'm going for, because if one person works 40 hours a week in a four-person household, at that point, they will be right above the poverty line. And if that's not the number, I don't know what other number we should look at. There's no other reasoning for any of the other numbers. Now, my living wage actually rolls out over 7 years, which takes into account a lot of small business interruption. We can also give a small business tax cut to offset that, because I'm really friendly to small businesses. But I think if we do that in the next 7 years, I think we're taking something like 26 million people out of poverty.
Well, we are asking all of our candidates a personal last question. And for you, we want to know, if you could produce and direct the film of your dreams, what would it be?
Well, that is a great question. I think it would be a film about an inner city chess team that goes all the way to state, wins the championship, goes national, and does extremely well. That would be the the picture I'd make next.
Ah, and do you have chess team in mind for this?
I mean, it'll be a fictional film, it'll be a narrative film, but there's a chess team that I coached when I was a teacher, and it was amazing because it was the inner city of Milwaukee, and nobody expected us to do well, but these kids really took to chess and understood it, and they did extremely well in the tournaments, and I was so proud of them, and I could see the glimmer in their eye.
Very cool. We'll look for it. Thanks very much for being with us.
Thank you so much, Joy.
Amar Kalika is a filmmaker, founder of a video production company, former charter school teacher. He is running for Congress in Wisconsin's 1st Congressional District. He faces Rob Zurban in the August 12th Democratic primary. And we will talk with Rob Zurban coming up in just a moment.